and guests on this program are encouraged to express their views. They do not necessarily reflect those of the ownership or management of WQKR.
Good afternoon, Sumner County. Welcome to The Loyal Opposition, a show based on the American ideal that nations like ours, when government reflects a diversity of voices and makes space for dissent. That is why we're here, to air the voice of dissent to the supermajority's policies and ideas. I'm your host, Len Asante. We are joined today with my co-host,
Michelle.
Woo! So welcome, Michelle. Our guest today, we're going to have Josh Foster with the Communication Workers of America, and we've got Megan Lang from the...
Your favorite.
Megan Lang, who is here almost as much as I am.
This is true.
Visiting from the Tennessee Democratic Party and various campaigns thereunto. It is 80 degrees and cloudy in Portland. It is going to go down to 65 degrees tonight. On Thursday, pretty much the same, high of 88, low of 63, and sunny skies. So stay cool, stay hydrated, stay safe out there on your ride home tonight. Okay, it is 5:02 p.m., and we got a lot to talk about. So first of all,
we do have a lot.
We do have a lot to talk about. Michelle, what the heck are you doing here?
Well, it's been a couple months since I've been here. I was on a roll for once a month there for a little while, but it's been. I think I skipped a couple.
Yeah. So good. Always good to have you back. Always good to have you. Makes the show run just a little bit smoother when I don't have to do all the talking.
It's hard to do it by yourself. The one time I had to do it by myself, I was trying to make Roger talk to me. He wouldn't talk to me.
Roger doesn't like to talk,
no,
though.
No. I'm a talker, but it's I like to have people talk back.
So, Roger, what do you think? Yes.
Hey, Roger.
No.
We love Roger.
Yes.
Anyway, today, first off, folks, we are joined with our first guest, Josh Foster. Josh is the president of the Communication Workers of America, Local 3808, based in Nashville, Tennessee. The CWA is my union. I'm a member at Local 3865. But 3808 is on strike, and that's what we're here to talk about today. Josh, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Excellent. Glad you could be with us. And folks, remember, if you've got any questions for me or our guests, be sure to use our text-in line. Send a text message, and if we've got time and if I notice, we'll get your question on the air. That number is 516-440-6310. That is 516-440-6310. Josh, as I said, welcome to the show. Why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself, your career in history in the CWA?
Okay. So I actually have been with AT&T. I actually started with Bell South in 2005.
Ah, the old days, yeah.
The old days. I actually celebrated my 19th anniversary with the company this past Friday on a picket line with my fellow members.
You can tell you've got the picket line suntan.
Yes, I do. I started in the Bat Building. I was in acquisitions. I can tell you I am in no way, shape, or form a salesman. So how I made it in there for 7 years, I have no idea. Was able to use the union, CWA, to take classes to test out for other jobs in the technician side of the business, and waited my time and got my seniority in and transferred outside. And I've been a maintenance tech for, since 2013.
So you went from inside to outside.
I did. Mm-hmm. I made the transition from the Bat Building to the outside and became a technician. So I was a service tech, have been, still hold that title.
Okay. When did you start getting involved in CWA?
Well, I joined CWA. I joined CWA the first day that I started with Bell South. So I had been a member for 19 years. I didn't run for any office with CWA until I believe it was 2020. I ran for the EVP position. I served there for about 4 months, and tragically, our serving president, Debbie Sisco, was murdered. And so I took over as president there and won re-election this past fall.
Gotcha.
Wow. Gotcha.
Man, heck of a way to...
All of our faces were just like... you can't see our faces, but they were shocked.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm, absolutely. Mm-hmm. What is the president of a local do? What's your kind of like your union job description?
Sure. So my job description, I guess, would be to stay in contact not only with our district and our national, but to run the day-to-day for our local. Our local is large. It's one of the larger ones in Tennessee. Excuse me. We cover areas from Clarksville down to Franklin and from Dixon over to Lebanon. So we have over 800 members. Throughout AT&T, we cover the mobility side of the business, the network side of the business, the consumer side of the business. So we have a lot of members in a lot of areas. So I handle 4 different contracts with them, help out with grievances. We have an executive board that I work closely with. We try to work and grow our political connections in the community and just reach out and help our membership however and wherever we can.
19 years, you said, you've mm-hmm. been with. How many strikes during the 19 years?
So in 19 years, the only strikes that I had been on was 5 years ago. We also had a ULP strike with the company, and that lasted for 5 days, basically.
Mm-hmm. Was that 2018?
Yes.
That's when we ran.
Man Land ran for office that year.
And Michelle didn't walk the picket line, y'all, but you did. But she did.
I did stop by and introduce myself, and you know.
Oh, it was 2019.
Okay.
But yes, yes. Gotcha. We did a ULP strike for 5 days. Mm-hmm. Other than that, that is the only experience. The last strike that we had was in '83, I believe, and that lasted for, I think it was 22, 23 days.
I was going to say, so when I was out there last week, is there a Jose?
Yeah.
Jose, so I talked to Jose, and he was saying that the last strike that he knows of that was this long was in '83, mm-hmm. and that was a little over 3 weeks.
Correct.
And so I mean, what is this is like what day 13, 14?
Well, this would be, see, 14 was last 14? Friday. What day is this?
Oh, wow.
I don't even know what day this is anymore.
Wednesday? 1920.
So day 20. Now, in 1955, CWA also had a strike against South Central Bell, and that mm-hmm. lasted for 57 days.
57 days.
That one was over insurance, so that we could have pretty much insurance.
So you could have health care?
Mm-hmm. And my grandfather actually was on that picket line.
Idea.
Really?
I have a picture of him and my father holding a sign on that line.
That is cool. So, that is cool. Three generations of union men.
Yes, sir.
I like
that.
Yes, sir.
I
like that.
I mean, I hate what's happening, but I love that you're three generations of union men.
That's awesome.
That's incredible.
That's awesome. So what are the issues in this particular
action? So this is basically an unfair labor practice strike. Mm-hmm. Charges were filed by our district leadership, who's handling our bargaining.
And we're District 3, is that right?
District 3, okay. Which is the southeastern region, 9 southern states plus Puerto Rico. So when they were bargaining, we have been bargaining since June. Our contract expired August 3rd. And then about 2 weeks or a week or so after that, they felt that the company was not coming to the bargaining table and bargaining in good faith, that they were engaging in a lot of surface bargaining. The example that we were given was basically that they were willing to move and agree on smaller contractual language, but when it came time to put pen to paper, suddenly that side of the bargaining table was saying, well, we don't have authorization to make changes to the contract that we're here bargaining for. So that led to the unfair labor practice charges being filed with the NLRB.
And this is a common tactic that's been used by management in other strikes over the years. Right?
Absolutely.
Bargaining without really bargaining.
Sure. I am sure that they have lawyers and mediators that they bring in to do these things that maybe don't have the authority to make changes. But it's very frustrating.
Sure. Understood.
It's a waste of time.
Yes, it is a waste of time. You know, with our last ULP strike that lasted for 5 days, the way that was explained to me when it happened was that when we filed those charges, the very next day, the company put somebody at the table that was authorized to make changes, and they had a tentative agreement within 3 days. Mm. So it can be done.
It can be done, right. Okay. Wow, so 20 days. So obviously when you're on strike, 20 days, you're not getting paid, right? I'm assuming health care benefits, are they maintained? How does that work? What's the life of a union worker on strike like?
So basically we with health care, we were kind of in a holding pattern, you know, because we were kind of straddling months here. There was a lot of concern with our members that they were going to lose health care. You know, health care is vital and it's very important, especially to our younger members and their families. We were waiting for an answer for the company, and basically what we were given was that they had not made a decision as to what they were going to do at this time. So as of now, healthcare is continuing on as normal, business as usual. But the thing I would say is that, you know, obviously it does cause some stress, it does cause some concern. But this is where a union comes in, and this is where not just the president, but all of our officers and members, we all talk to each other. No one's going to lose insurance, even if the company comes back and says, hey, we're not going to pay this premium this month. That doesn't mean you lose your insurance right then and there. You know, we have ways to protect against that. We have methods to help you with that. But more importantly, we have the knowledge to incorporate everything together to make sure that everybody gets good, correct information. Right. So no loss of health care, but again, stressful. The loss of pay, yeah, that's stressful
it's
too.
Loss of wages and that.
I tell you, I've been really impressed talking to everybody on the line, whether it's a technician outside or where somebody works in the bat building, just the different part-time gigs they've been able to pick up kind of on the spot to supplement their income. It's so readily available. And people have really tapped into that, and I think that has kind of helped sustain what we have going on.
Absolutely.
But now, yes, now that we're getting into 3 weeks of this, you know, we are having funds that are tapped into from the national that are going to be able to help our members out.
Sure.
It's not a whole lot, but it's enough to kind of help keep things going.
Yeah. Okay. I saw that there was it's not a GoFundMe, but like a collection going on right now.
Yes,
too.
There's a strike relief fund.
Yeah.
So that is actually just going up, and so we're going
to
get more information.
I think I literally saw it this morning or something. So
if
like
someone
very
wants to
fresh.
Donate to that, how do they do that?
Yeah, how do we do that?
So we're going to have that up on our Facebook page.
Already is.
We'll also be sending it out in a mass email that I think maybe has already gone out from CWA National. So it's going out across the country. We'll be at the Labor Day Parade in Nashville this weekend. Mm-hmm. We'll have some QR codes and things to share there.
When I get that information, I'll put it also on the...
I have it somewhere, so I can send it
to you. On our show's
website.
Okay. So people can go there if they want to donate.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
Spread that on our social media.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can help. We can do that
to
help.
We'd appreciate it.
I'll make a TikTok.
Excellent. Yeah. Hey,
Michelle's
she has
solution
some
to
good
everything.
Stuff going on TikTok right now.
I'm blowing up on TikTok right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michelle monetized the TikTok. She made like 26 cents last week. It was great.
No, I've made like total $16.
$16.
Wow. Hey. It's a lot of views.
All right.
No, I sold 3 sweatshirts.
Wow. I sound snarky. I'm not really.
That's
exciting for Michelle. Yeah.
Michelle's an entrepreneur at heart.
She's
got many small businesses.
What can we in general do to support right now aside from like donating to the relief fund? I know like one of my candidates up in Clarksville took some like snack and goodie bags by and was on the picket line for a couple of hours. I know Allison and Lexi and I think Walter also from Sumner, they all stopped by the picket line. You know, what can we do as your average person? I have internet through AT&T, so I can send emails and calls, but like what can I do?
Sure. Everything you have been doing is great, and that's what we want. We've had plenty of people. It's funny you say that. we had ladies stop by our pickets the other day whose fathers and uncles had worked for Bell South back in the day. And so they brought us ice, drinks.
Good, good.
What was it? Some other lady, I think, brought an old sign that her dad or somebody had in
the
garage.
That's neat.
A vintage sign.
But yeah, so that kind of support, that's the stuff that really goes a long way.
Okay.
You know, and yeah, if you drive by and you see them with their signs that say, honk. Give us a honk, give us a honk honk.
That was the best part when I was out there, just so many, and I would.
People honked?
There were people that I would not have expected to honk too. That was so lots of honks. I loved that.
But yeah,
ashamed people who didn't.
Definitely
honk.
That kind of support would help.
Yeah.
Just kind of getting the word out to everybody. You know, that's something we're kind of struggling with. Not that we're having trouble getting the word out amongst ourselves and everything, but not every media outlet is super willing to cover what we got going on because, you know, of who we're up against, I guess. I don't know. But just getting the word out, signing our petition, you know, anything that you can donate, whether it's a honk honk or bag of ice or some drinks or
a couple of Gatorades,
anything like that, we will definitely take any and all assistance. So
all right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to have more with Josh Foster. You are listening to The Loyal Opposition here on WQKR.
At the law office of Amanda J. Gentry, we are committed to defending your rights. We have a team committed to helping you navigate the court system, whether you've been accused of a crime or you're going through a messy divorce and custody. Call our team to help you navigate this system. We are here to protect your rights, to demand your rights, to enforce your rights. 615-604-6263. 615-604-6263. AmandaJGentry.com.
The Sumner County Anti-Drug Coalition, an organization dedicated to ending drug abuse, is now the Sumner Prevention Coalition. But their goal is the same, helping Sumner County residents with drug abuse problems turn their lives around and get on the road to recovery. Their mission is to unite people with vision, commitment, and resources to provide solutions to eliminate substance abuse and make a difference for youth, families, and individuals in Sumner County. The coalition and its staff of experienced professionals in the field envision a healthy, safe, and thriving community, free from substance abuse of all kinds, tobacco use, prescription drug abuse, and underage drinking. Find out how the Sumner Prevention Coalition can help you, and you can help the coalition. Visit them online at sumnercoalition.org. That's sumnercoalition.org.
WQKR. Portland is pleased to welcome Cole Lumber Company to our business community. They will now be this area's leading supplier of building materials. Operating since 1946, Cole Lumber, with their 7 Kentucky locations, has selected Portland as their first operation in Tennessee. And we are glad to have them here. Cole is 100% employee-owned. It is their goal to provide all of their customers with both quality building materials and friendly service. From a staff that is both knowledgeable and experienced, serving the needs of both contractors and homeowners, from building a dream home to a weekend project, Cole Lumber has the knowledge, experience, and materials to help you. No matter what you want or need, visit Cole Lumber Company, 462 North Broadway in Portland.
We have a saying here in the Tennessee Valley, if you don't like the weather, just give it a few minutes and it'll change, which is why you need a heating and cooling system that can keep up, like a high-efficiency electric heat pump that starts saving you money the minute you turn it on. And now that your local power company and TVA are offering 8% financing for up to 10 years, there's never been a smarter time to make the switch. So call your local power company or log on to EnergyRight.com.
Call CEMC and join the heat pump revolution today.
Welcome back, everyone. This is The Loyal Opposition. I'm your host, Len Asante, with my co-host, Michelle Harbin. We are speaking with Josh Foster with Communication Workers of America and, of course, Megan Lang with the Tennessee Democratic Party. It is 520, 80 degrees, and mostly cloudy in Portland, going down to 65 tonight. Over the break, we were talking a little bit about the number of locations that you're actually picketing. And 20, is it 26? Is that right?
We've got over 25.
Over 25, okay. Over 25. And there are some locations in Sumner County.
Correct.
Okay, so we've got Hendersonville, and we've got Gallatin. Mm-hmm. And are there any others?
So, well, there's Portland.
Okay, mm-hmm. Portland.
And Springfield? That's not
no,
Sumner.
No, that's
next door, Robertson okay. County.
So, right.
They can hear us, though.
Yeah.
You've got Gallatin over on Belvedere. Mm-hmm. That's a big yard, construction, installers. You know, that's one of the challenges that we've kind of faced that we were talking about on the break, is that we don't have the manpower to cover every single location.
Sure.
So we have been very fluid with our pickets and been able to move those around and shift those around. And the support, though, even though we haven't had the manpower that we've maybe had in the past, the support has been just outstanding. You know, everybody has just doubled their efforts, have really stepped up, and we've gotten it done.
So if you are in Hendersonville or Gallatin or Portland and you happen to be driving by and seeing those red and white signs, give them a honk.
Honk, honk.
Honk, honk. Say hi. Say hi. Kind of expanding our conversation a little, I was just reading today that a battery factory in Spring Hill, Ultium Batteries, I think it is, and they make batteries for electric vehicles, and they're next door to the GM plant. And they just voted to unionize, and the company has recognized the union. And so that will be another new union outpost in Middle Tennessee.
Wow.
Right next, and they'll be members of the UAW. Okay. I think the same local as the General Motors plant people are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So on top of the victory in Chattanooga, it seems like there's a little bit of life left in unions here in the South, huh?
Absolutely. I think, and this is my own personal opinion, but I think unions in the South, yeah, we kind of got a reputation as unions are hard in the South, but I disagree with that. You know, I think everybody discounts unions and thinks of them a certain way, but the membership is so diverse. So we're definitely not down and out by any stretch. I think our strike has really gone a long way in proving that. As I was mentioning too, our district has 9 southern states and Puerto Rico. I believe all of those states are right-to-work states. And we are 3 weeks into a strike here, mm-hmm. and we are still at 99% participation.
That's amazing.
Across the board and going strong. So that's something to brag about.
And that's sort of portends eventual success, I would
I think
guessing.
So.
Main,
I think so.
Helps you remain optimistic. Huh?
Oh, absolutely.
What's taking them so long?
They just won't send anyone to their side of the table to bargain in good faith. Mm. And it's really, really sad because 5 years ago was our last contract. Since that contract, so much has changed with how we do our job, our lives. You know, if you think about it, a few years ago on Christmas Day, a CO in Nashville got bombed.
Yep.
Right.
That could have been catastrophic for telecommunications.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going home and spending Christmas with their families, our members went to work, and they did that in good faith. Then we had a pandemic that pretty much shut the world down.
Yes.
Everybody was told to work from home, go to school from home. All this stress was put all over our telecommunications network.
I was going to say, y'all couldn't go home and work
we
from home.
We did not. You know, some of our members did get to work from home, but our technicians did not. We stayed out there, and we kept working and kept that network up and running and going and churning and making all kinds of money.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that in good faith. So we have upheld our end of the bargain in this contract. So it's time for AT&T to come to the table and bargain in good faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I scream to the management all the time when I have meetings with them. Well, I don't scream at them, but I always try to reiterate.
Speak firmly.
AT&T has such a loyal and dedicated and motivated workforce.
You've been there 19 years.
I've been there 19 years.
Yeah.
You know, I'm basically third generation, but it's a good job, and it's a proud job. But AT&T just turns a blind eye to that.
That's so frustrating.
It really is.
Yeah. Sad. I mean, the things work best when labor and management work together. Mm-hmm. And you've got that leads to more productivity, that leads to a better economy, that leads to more jobs, and that leads to more profits, right? Everyone makes out well in a situation like that. And it's basic economics, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I guess not everyone really understands that. I guess I'll just kind of leave it at that.
Well, they should, because, you know, being in a union and having a union is great. And I like to tell people this when they join a union for the first time, is that now you're in a place where you know your value, you know your worth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now you're in a place where you have a say and a voice in how you're treated, how you're paid, you know, your working conditions.
Yeah.
And you've got 800 people who've got your back.
Exactly. Well, that's 17,000.
In the South, the messaging to discredit unions is not by accident. So,
yeah.
Right.
Sure. Exactly. There's political motivation there. Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. But I think it's short-sighted, like I mentioned. You know, things seem to work best when labor and management are working together. And there are a lot of historical examples over the years to support that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at the economic output of this nation, say, during World War II, when all those factories were converted to war production. They were all unionized.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They were I mean, there was way more higher percentage of Americans who were unionized back then, when this was more of an industrial economy, right? And, you know, we created the greatest economic miracle in the history of the world, and that helped win the war. So,
I mean, I'll always also just, I know this is so cliche, but if we didn't have unions on Saturdays and Sundays, every single person would be working.
Right.
We would be working much longer than 8-hour days.
Our 10-year-olds would be working.
I was going to say our 5-year-old. Like, can you imagine Cooper, like, working at McDonald's? It would not, I mean, he'd be funny, but the food would not be...
It's just,
I don't even know that you would even have food. Yeah, you would just have like a dancing child. Just stuff like that I think about. I mean, like we
wages
are...
Wages would be low. Your earning power would be less, which means your spending power would be less.
Let's not talk about wages in Tennessee.
Less, which means the economy as a whole. I mean, two-thirds of our economy is based on consumer spending. And if consumers don't have money to spend, that economy doesn't grow.
And I also just think that when we're looking at trying to keep unions from having collective bargaining power, that really says something about the character of people in charge.
I would agree
with that. In my personal opinion.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. My belief is I think unions are built on the work ethic of its members.
Yeah.
And I have never seen a stronger work ethic than what I've seen from CWA, especially Local 3808. You know, whether it was during this strike or even in the years before.
Yeah. So.
Did you guys see this coming, expect it? Did it kind of come out? Was it a shock? Was it a surprise?
Well, I don't know that I would call it a shock, really. You know, every time when we have contracts that are getting ready to come up, people basically start banging the war drums, telling you, like, oh, hey, it's coming. Get ready.
Sure.
And you should anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, basically you've had 5 years to prepare and know that this day is coming, whether it comes or not. But here we are. And, you know, like I said, we've got things in place to take care of our members. We're very fortunate. But I wouldn't call it a shock. You know, it's shocking that it's gone this long.
Okay.
I feel like, you know, we definitely deserve better.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to bargaining in good faith, like we just talked about. So, again, we've upheld our end of the bargain. You know, we're here. We're ready. We want to go back to work. We want to be there. So, you know, we all love our jobs for the most part. So,
all right. If you could have one message for our listeners
mm-hmm.
as kind of a final parting shot, what would it be?
Again, to be patient. I know that they are getting frustrated, especially as outages and everything start to mount. I'm sure AT&T is telling everybody not to panic. Everything is fine. But they can't keep up with the work that we do. You know, our work is highly specialized. Our work is very intricate. Mm-hmm. So, and it's also very needed. We were told we were essential. You know, during the
pandemic,
yeah.
You were essential.
Yeah, I mean,
pandemic.
I would argue right that now, the world right. still yeah. functioned because of
exactly
the workers like y'all who yeah, actually made the internet function.
The statistics on internet use during the pandemic mm-hmm. are
even
staggering.
Afterwards, if you look at, I mean, I say this all the time. We experienced a digital renaissance mm-hmm. because when people were stuck and not able to be out, they had to become more creative and put that stuff online. And like, that is, thank you. That is you. Thank you.
Right, without that network infrastructure, none yeah. of that could have happened. And we all those Zoom meetings would have never happened.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I would just, you know, tell the customers, people who maybe are just hearing about this for the first time. You know, this has absolutely zero to do with anybody being greedy or anything like this. This is solely about our company not bargaining in good faith.
Yeah.
So just be patient with us and know that we want to be back. We want to be out there. We want to be providing good service and stuff. But, you know, we're going to take care of our own.
Yes.
All right.
Is your Facebook page the best place for people to get information? And
it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Josh Foster.
Hey, thank y'all for having me.
President of CWA Local 3808. Thanks for dropping by. We're going to take our next break. When we come back, it's going to be, I guess, more Megan all the time. We'll be right back. You're listening to WQKR.
Here's an important message from Portland Natural Gas. Always looking out for your safety. Think you have a gas leak? First, evacuate the area. Don't use matches, electrical switches, flashlights, or telephones. And report it immediately by calling Portland Natural Gas at 325-6776. If you think the leak is serious and a real danger is present, call 911. Portland Natural Gas, looking out for your safety and providing cost-efficient heating and cooling for Portland residents.
Now you can join Planet Fitness and get the PF Black Card for zero enrollment, $24.99 a month, and get all the perks.
I love perks.
Do you love having access to 2,000 plus locations?
Yes.
Bringing a friend every time?
Hashtag friend goals.
And recovering with massage chairs?
Who doesn't?
Get the PF Black Card and feel fitacular. Zero enrollment, $24.99 a month. See club for details.
If you're on Medicare, here's exciting news. The Medicare annual enrollment period is just weeks away. Portland has a local trusted advisor who can help seniors sort through all the confusing aspects of Medicare, and there are a lot of changes in cost and services this year. Kyle Doris and Medicare Insurance Advisors can help you make sense out of all the plans and supplements. Best of all, the advice and service from Kyle and MIA doesn't cost you a penny. Give them a call at 615-325-0064 or visit Kyle at 621 South Broadway.
The Medical Center at Franklin is proud to serve the Franklin-Simpson County community. More than just a hospital, the Medical Center at Franklin offers the care you need close to home. From primary care to routine screenings like mammograms, colonoscopies, or lung cancer screenings, we take care of your emergency needs, offer school-based care, and even cancer and rehab services. Visit medcenterhealth.org/franklin to learn more.
The Beatles?
Pat Benatar? Survivor?
The Who?
Led Zeppelin!
Reminds me of the stuff I grew up listening to. You know, reminds me of being a kid and stuff.
WQKR plays the music you grew up with. Great rock and roll and pop hits from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. It's fun to listen to. Fun contests and great prizes, too. All day, every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
WQKR. WQKR.
It's reminiscent. It's the stuff that you grew up with.
The Beatles?
Pat Benatar? Survivor?
The Who?
Led Zeppelin!
Hey, welcome back, Sumner County. You're listening to The Loyal Opposition here on WQKR. I'm your host, Lynn Asante, and I'm joined with my co-host, Michelle Harbin, and we've got Megan Lang with us here on this cloudy...
I mean, we might as well be a trio of hosts.
Yeah.
A trio of hosts.
I am so funny.
So a tri-host?
A tri-host.
A triumvirate of hosts.
A triumvirate of hosts.
Yeah.
Telling you that it's 80 degrees and the sun's going down at 7:11 p.m. and it's going to be sunny tomorrow. All right. Hey, Michelle, haven't been on the show in a while. How you doing?
I'm good.
How you doing? So, been a change in your household situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, how are you liking that?
Harbin's home.
Harbin's home. Harbin's Harbin Hollow.
I was very concerned for a second. I was like, is she announcing like a divorce? What the heck? But no, this is good news.
Yeah, it's good
and
news.
It's fun.
So, he's always traveled for work in the television world and... he has switched gears and is a project manager for a local construction company and here in Portland, Extreme. And so we have him home. And it's
so that means he comes home for dinner every night? And
Yep. That's
awesome.
Yep.
That's awesome.
And he helps me in the mornings, which I love the mornings. So having him help me get the kids out the door is amazing.
For those of you who may not know this, Michelle's not exactly a morning kind of person.
Nope. Nope.
Kind of the opposite of a morning person, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and how's your job doing?
My job's going good. Just, you know, basically planning parties. I'm in catering sales, 60-mile radius from Lebanon. And then I do a little bit of the event production as well, depending on what the event is. So my official title is catering and event specialist.
Catering and event specialist.
Mm-hmm.
And Michelle's firm, A Catered Affair,
mm-hmm.
They recently did a little work for us right here in Sumner County.
That's right.
I want to talk about that. We had the Sumner County Democratic Party held their annual three-star celebration fundraiser back on August 24th. And A Catered Affair knocked it out of the park.
It was a good night.
First of all, tickets were sold out. Right.
Yep.
We had
Start
a sellout.
There.
We had that. We had a massive crowd.
I feel like we actually ended up selling a little more than
Yes.
I think it was supposed to be like 150, and we ended up with like 160 or
yes,
something.
Yes, we ended up selling a few more tickets, but a few people who bought tickets didn't come, so it worked out.
Yep.
Right. We had enough food, which was our big concern.
Yeah, we were.
In.
We all kind of held.
We were anxious. I was one of the last ones to get food.
Yeah.
At one point, Michelle came out of the kitchen area and she said to me, "She said
we're
going to be all right. We're safe. We have enough." And I'm like, "All right."
We just had so many people that showed up last minute. You know,
yes.
We didn't know.
Yes. So it was.
They were not accounted for. It wasn't that A Catered Affair was not, you know, prepared for the amount.
You guys did great. I mean, the service was spectacular. The food was delicious. We had a variety of different hors d'oeuvres. There were these little tiny little pastry things that I thought were really
good. Lobster tartlets.
There you go, right?
There you
go. And then there were these little slider-like things.
Mm-hmm. Mini beef bites.
And the
mini beef bites are like a little beef slider with garlic and herb cream cheese.
Yes, the cream cheese was awesome.
And then we had stuffed mushrooms with boysen cheese.
That was just the beginning. And then once the line opened up, people got to fill up their dish with all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there was different kinds of beverages and drinks and whatnot. So
we had music,
we had the silent auction, which did really well.
Did it? Good. I haven't heard the final tally on that.
And, actually, one of the items up in the silent auction was a spot.
And Laura Rodriguez got that.
Oh, did you? See, I don't
She's
know.
She's my friend.
Okay, so.
She got that, yes.
So we'll be hearing from her coming up soon on the Loyal Opposition.
Laura is amazing. Laura is amazing. Y'all are going to love her. She has a daughter who's friends with Lila that has spent the night with us, and Lila spent the night over there. She lives here in Portland, but she is a holistic chef. And she is, everything is anti-inflammatory. She has healed multiple, you know, autoimmune disorders with food. And so she's very fascinating. She's fun on social media. She'll be a great guest.
Oh, yeah. I already got I'm already thinking of some good questions to ask her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so look for that, folks, coming up an episode in the future. You know, on the auction sheet, you know, they tell you, you have to fill in sort of like how much do you think the item is worth. And for that, they wrote in priceless.
Oh, nice.
priceless.
That's funny.
I should be very rich the number of times I've been on this show.
Right.
Actually, one of the reasons why you're on the show today is to kind of talk about the importance of events like that for our local candidates.
Yeah.
How do you think they, did they have a good time?
I think they did. You know, I don't want to get preachy on here, so I'm going to try and control myself, but I know like that night I spoke.
That's my job.
Well, you try to stop me, Lynn. You try. It's not going to happen. But one of the things that we talked about was that candidates, and I would say candidates on any party, when they run for office, they expect people to step up and help them because they're told people are going to step up and help
exactly.
them. And
right.
then that doesn't happen. And so I think that for them, it was a great opportunity to see that there were people who actually were willing to kind of put some money out there, show up, take time on a weekend, and pick up yard signs, put yard signs out, post about being at an event that is not a Republican event. Like, this is something I think a lot of people are concerned right now. Like, I'm wearing a shirt that is literally a rainbow of Kamala Harris.
Lots of Kamala Harrises on that shirt.
How many of those? Eight different Kamalas. And they're,
she's in eight different colors
eight different
of pantsuits.
And it's the rainbow. And
one more, you could have had a Supreme Court there.
You know, I mean, we can allow a single man to be on the Supreme Court, I guess. But the reality is that, like, people are scared to put out signs. They're scared to wear their shirts. They're scared
anything. I won't put a sticker on my car. I'm afraid it's going to get
Oh, I'm not going to put a sticker on my car, but I don't put any stickers on my car. But I do have yard signs out. I do wear my shirts. I do carry, like, purses with messages on them. And the reality is that a lot of people are terrified to do that. And so I think for the candidates, it was seeing all of these people. And then hopefully the idea that the people seeing, oh, there are all these other people here. I'm not alone.
It creates a little safe space,
yes, right? And then makes them think, oh, gosh, what if I do wear my Kamala shirt to Aldi? Like, what's going to happen?
I mean, every time I make a social media post, I at least get one DM that is like, thank you. I'm a teacher. I can't speak. I'm this. I can't speak.
During the DNC, I got a message from a local business owner that I have not talked to in several years, and I would have sworn to you that she was a Republican. Sworn to you. And looking at her voting record, she is. And she said, I've pulled out my pearls and I've ordered my Chucks. They'll be here next week. And that's the kind of thing that we're seeing right now. And it's like, if we wear, you know, our blue shirts every Tuesday or something, I like the idea of Blue Dot Tuesday, where we wear blue shirts and we remind people that you know, like,
I'm wearing blue, like,
I'm doing all my TikTok videos,
I'm wearing blue. Like,
I don't actually wear blue. I just wear some sort of, like, activism shirt or something. But the thing for the candidates is that they're seeing, oh, there are these people. And then they have faces to go with names, so they can actually make direct reach out to those people and say, hey, can you host a meet and greet? Hey, are you willing to canvas with me? Hey, I need $100 next week in order to purchase this thing. Are you willing to donate? Like, that is something I think it's very encouraging. And I feel as though, especially in Sumner County, but realistically all across the United States, 2022, there were so many uncontested races. But here in Sumner County, right now, we can go down the ballot and you start with the Democratic candidate and you end with the Democratic candidate. And that has not been historically something we've had much of recently.
Right.
And so what we're looking at is this opportunity for people to actually stand up and be like, I'm not into this Jeremy Mansfield.
I mean, how many times have you heard, well, we never have anybody to vote for? We never
All the time.
You have somebody
it
to
is
vote
the
for.
Bane of my existence
now
as a campaign staffer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of Jeremy Mansfield.
Are you going to bring up Millersville today?
Yeah, I want to bring up Millersville.
Oh, my gosh. Huh?
It looks like the TBI raided the Millersville City Hall today.
Yep.
Good.
I haven't read in detail, but I saw some live photos of the vehicles and them taking stuff out of the right. So it looks like the police department, at least, is under investigation there.
Yeah.
The
police chief who was appointed by.
Exactly, mm-hmm. And then who hired the assistant police chief? Well, this conspiracy theory guy.
I feel like they're like 7 months of financial documents that
the entire year.
Yeah, the entire people year. Can't access and right. see with a FOIA, so they're just like.
Which is a violation of state law. I mean, the state requires cities. To,
color me surprised.
Right. So it's the most common reaction I saw on the social media about this was, it's about time.
Yeah.
Why is it taking so long?
Right. Right.
And the second most common was, you know, if we allow the Sumner County Constitutional Republicans full control, this is what's going to happen all over Sumner County.
Yep.
Right. Because they're not the good government experts, clearly. Hmm. But I think, you know, regarding the Sumner County Constitutional Republicans, I've seen a lot of positive energy come out of the opposition to them.
Yes.
On both sides of the aisle. You know, on the one hand, you have the more, I don't know, normal or reasonable or regular Republicans who don't...
You have the Freedom Caucus.
Right.
That's what they call themselves right now.
Because, you know, the rest of us, you know, we don't like freedom, I guess.
And then, we're also not patriots.
Right.
Which I am reclaiming that. I mean, like, look at Tim Walz.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a patriot.
How can you be more stereotypically patriot? I mean, he's like a Norman Rockwell painting.
I want
around.
You to know that at the DNC, I literally cried when his football team was up there with him.
Yeah.
That was beautiful. And that tells you something about his character.
And Megan, you were like right up.
I was like in the second and third row every night. And that was, you know, so one of the things that I told Nick, it's hard because you don't want to just get swept up into this fever pitch of blah, elections, Democrat
chamber.
Yeah. But there were moments where I was just like, this is what we need to be seeing. This is what we need to be doing. And I also had some really good connections. I'm working on a lot of campaigns, right? I'm very engaged in the state level campaigns. And I spoke with a woman who was from Iowa. She was the youngest delegate from Iowa. She was 19. And she actually lives like an hour from where my dad grew up in Iowa, Elkhorn, Iowa. Very, very, wow. very tiny. And we talked a lot about how in the red states, there's this difficulty and we feel very alone and like no one else understands. Because if you're in a blue state and you have a blue government, you are not facing the same kind of things that we are facing here in Tennessee Project 2024. And so talking to her, I was like, this feels so different. Like, she gets it.
Right. She gets it. Sure.
Other people do understand. And then, you know, we're able to collaborate and think about various things that folks have been doing to make an impact. And I don't know. It was very encouraging. It also made me think a lot. And I, like I said, I've gotten texts from people who are Republicans who are voting for Kamala Harris, and that has been exciting for me.
That's great. And they finally have someone they can tell without alienating all their
friends.
Yes. Well, right? And I'll tell you, I experienced this on a very, very small scale when I had Harbin Hollow, because we opened in September of 2020. The election, of course, was in swing. And then, you know, it took forever to certify it and yada, yada, yada. And it was all I could do to keep my mouth shut. But I had a brand new brick and mortar business mm-hmm. here. And I felt so trapped because I could not say on social media what I wanted to say. I couldn't wear what I still wore, you know,
it was like when
RGB
I was at,
shirts.
Yeah, when I was at the chamber or at the library, I was not allowed to have opinions.
Yeah. Right. And that's
that's why I don't work for either of them now.
All right, we're going to take our last break right now. When we come back, we're going to finish up with Megan Lang, or as much as we can finish up ever with Megan Lang.
We'll be back in a few weeks.
You're
probably
listening to the Loyal Opposition here on WQKR.
Calling a criminal defense lawyer or a divorce lawyer, you may think it's the worst day of your life. It doesn't have to be. If you have quality, competent representation who can guide you through a complex system, we can do that for you, despite if you've been arrested for a DUI or a robbery charge, whether or not you're going through a divorce or a post-divorce, or demanding your fundamental constitutional right to parent your children. 615-604-6263. AmandaJGentry.com.
Why choose the Farmers Bank? We've been serving our community since 1912, and we still manage our business locally. This means that when you need banking services or a loan, we don't let a computer or someone thousands of miles away make our decisions. We make decisions locally. We visit with you in person. We shake your hand. We get to know you and your family. The Farmers Bank is a community bank built on trust and quality customer care and service. Visit us at any of our 11 area locations or online at thefarmersbank.net to see the Farmers Bank difference. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Need a Cub Cadet lawnmower? We have it. Largest dealership in Middle Tennessee. Prices starting at $34.99. Need appliances? We have them too. Come on over to DT McCall & Sons, your one-stop neighborhood superstore located at 1220 Scottsville Road in Lafayette, Tennessee. We carry a wide assortment of Lazy Boy recliners, lots of fabrics and colors with prices starting at $6.99. Lazy Boy and Softline sofas, check out their great prices, starting at $9.99. Serving Middle Tennessee for over 100 years. 0% interest for 12 months through First Heritage. Free delivery and recycling within 125 miles of Carthage, Tennessee. Visit D.T. McCall and Sons today at 1220 Scottsville Road in Lafayette, Tennessee. Hey!
How many financial advisors does it take to ruin what could have been a perfectly secure retirement? Just one. With today's market turmoils, it's never been more important to make sure that your investment strategies are aligned with your retirement objectives. That's why you should always seek a second opinion with an experienced financial advisor, a fiduciary who's obligated to work with your best interest so that you're absolutely certain the tools and strategies that you're using are in harmony with your retirement objectives.
Call investment advisor representatives Nathan Cox and Lindsay Cotter of Retirement Income Solutions at 833-299-1416. That's 833-299-1416.
It's never been more important to make sure that your investment strategies are aligned with your retirement objectives.
That's 833-299-1416.
Welcome back, Sumner County. You're listening to The Loyal Opposition, and I'm your host, Len Asante, here with co-host Michelle Harbin and other co-host Megan Lang. And we've been talking about, I guess, changes going on lately in this part of the country this year. I mean, we've talked about union victories,
yeah,
and
we're talking about down ballot Democratic
gains, and we're talking about excitement. Due to the,
I'm going to bring up a Debbie Downer.
Okay.
I think that it would not be appropriate for us to not at least mention the school shooting in Georgia today.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was at Appalachie High School. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know what the numbers look like at this point, but I mean,
last I saw four at least.
Was the last, yeah, I saw too, yeah.
And like 30 injured or some large number.
They do have the
suspect is 14-year-old
boy. Mm-hmm. And that I think that the reminder there is that in Tennessee there is very little pragmatic gun legislation. And
quite gun, the opposite.
Gunshot wounds are one of the top killers of children.
It is the top killer.
It is the number one top killer of children in Tennessee.
Yes.
So I think
That's
that it
insanity.
Is critical that we think about what sort of pragmatic gun measures we could take, whether that is car storage laws that are actually enforced, whether that is ERPO, emergency risk protection orders, that kind of hinder the ability of those who are
dangerous to themselves
that have been
to access
passed in
guns.
Other southern states. Florida has that.
I just think there, and I know this is in Georgia, but like Covenant was a year and a half ago, not even. And so we're right. It's all blurred together in my head, but I was there when Justin and Gloria were, well, when Justin and Justin were expelled from the house. And I just think that we really need to be critically thinking about
solutions.
What are we voting for? Who are we voting for? And what are they actually doing? And are they, hypothetically, this is all hypothetical, but are they hypothetically giving away an AR-15 at a school fundraiser?
Hypothetically, could. You know, and at this point, we're not even allowed to talk about it. I mean, look, they want to have a referendum in Memphis.
Yeah.
And the referendum would be asking the state legislature to pass certain gun laws. Right, and then the referendum itself wouldn't do anything except ask the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
The legislature has threatened Memphis with $78 million in state funding.
Yeah.
Memphis has had to sue its own election commission to even get the measure on the ballot.
Yep,
and that, you know, so we're not even allowed to have the conversation, at least, without being punished by our supermajority overlords, and that is just wrong. It is also wrong to go overtime.
Yeah.
We are just about out of time. We are done with another episode of The Loyal Opposition. Sorry, folks, I will not be here next week. We're going to have a rerun, or we're going to have Michelle sub in for me, or we're going to have something. But stay tuned for Triple Play Sports up next on WQKR. Woo! Have a great night, everyone.
At the Law Office of Amanda J. Gentry, we are committed to defending your rights. Being arrested doesn't have to be the worst day of your life. Being served with custody paperwork doesn't have to be the worst day of your life. It may feel that way, but if you have Amanda J. Gentry representing you, you can feel confident that you're going to have the best quality representation in all of Middle Tennessee. Amanda J. Gentry goes wherever justice demands. 615-604-6263. AmandaJGentry.com.
Whether you're on your way to work in the morning and looking to grab a quick breakfast, or lunch break and wanting something good and hot and quick, or just hungry and not sure what you want, the one place you can always find what will work for you is Kirby Stop Market, 905 North Broadway in Portland. They're open 24 hours a day, offer both takeout and Grubhub delivery service, and have the biggest selection of fast food of anyone in the area. Fast food or home-cooked meals, meat and two sides for just $6.49, delicious Godfather's pizza, three for $13.99, fried chicken strips, livers and gizzards, hot barbecued and crispy wings, fish, potato wedges, onion rings, the biggest and best selection anywhere and always hot and ready to go. Plus, everything else you want or need from a truly convenience store. Kirby Stop Market, 905 North Broadway in Portland. Get what you want when you want it. Pick it up or have it delivered by Grubhub. Kirby Stop Market, 615-323-9098.
Sumner Regional Medical Center believes that every person has the right to dignity, respect, and compassion as we journey through the cycle of life. That's why they have created High Point Hospice. Our team of doctors, nurses, hospice aides, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers will walk by your side, offering support, providing symptom management, and answering questions to bring comfort and peace to you and your loved ones. For more information about High Point Hospice, call 328-6690.
Music, news.